Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week in Macintosh, Apple, generally anything. And, of course, nothing's happening in the next 7 days.
Nope.
Nothing at all.
Nope.
No. We won't be drinking beer. We won't be seeing each other in a few weeks. And I'm not saying the MWIW word, okay? I promise. I'm not going to be unbearable today. Because
what's the MWI word?
No, don't make me say it. Because Adam's already said he's going to hang up if I do. So... If it gets unbearable, he thought Wheatley was going to be on as well, but Wheatley's finishing off work today and he can't come, so it could be okay.
All right, someone text me the MWI word so no one has to say it, and then I can avoid it.
MWIW. Yeah. The world word thing type thing going on. The week in Apple.
Oh, the thingy that's happening.
The thing.
Yeah, you know, with the stuff.
The stuff.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And the...
drink a palooza.
The revenue from the marijuana. That's if the TSA is listening, that was a joke. I haven't got any revenue from marijuana. Oh, Jesus. I mean, it's so much stuff that's inappropriate lately. joining me to discuss the week in Apple, Adam Christensen, top left. How's it going, boy?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great, mate. Great. We've got nothing to talk about if we don't talk about
that. I was going to say, do we have anything to say?
Yeah, well,
shortest show ever.
So join us again next week. You've got us tickets, I believe, to a certain place.
A few places, actually.
Yeah, just a couple. Okay. Jesus, I saw that all coming in. When do I sleep exactly?
That's cute. Between you sleep between 4 a.m. and going to Mel's, I think is where it goes at about 7.
It's not sleep so much as power nap. Let's knock this notion of sleep out of your head immediately. There's a series of strategic power naps throughout the week, and that's how you survive.
Well, I mean, Paul Shadwell's... we don't get into, 2:15 at the airport, so we'll be 4:30 by the time we get to the apartment. Paul Shadwell was talking about us going out and eating at Chieftain's until 2 a.m.
Yeah, that's pretty much Paul's...
Chieftain's is fun, and yeah. If you can't find Paul, just go to Chieftain's.
Yeah, if you're the Chieftain, you'll see Paul there.
He's drinking.
He just sits there and watches Macworld go by at the Chieftain.
In a drunken haze. He's at the Chieftain till 2 a.m. on Tuesday morning, and then he's driving us up to Petaluma on Tuesday.
Great.
Well, no, the drive won't scare me because I'm going to be frigging asleep, so... There we go.
Yeah, so it'll be great. You won't have to worry about waking up until you're in the hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to wake up for crossing.
That's fantastic.
Crossing the Golden Gate, and that's it.
That's true.
I figure that everywhere in San Francisco that's a hostelry of some description saves an immense amount of money because no one ever sleeps in the sheets. Mm-hmm. There's no laundry to do all week.
And they just flop down across the bed. And then wake up when the alarm goes off.
Next to him, we got Kelly. What's the point of doing introductions? Because everyone knows who you are. Kelly Gamart and Jeff Gamert are here to discuss the week in Apple. And
here we go.
We've been 35 minutes trying to get the sodding thing up and running. So we all know each other is. And apparently the stream's being a bit of a pisser. So
dead.
Stuff him. I hope it's just recording because otherwise there's no show and we've spent an hour shooting the shit over nothing.
You need me to do an audio recording so you got at least that?
Well, no, because my audio recording won't be on it. Oh, yeah, go on then. Okay, just in case. Just start something.
Yeah.
There's a gap.
We missed the whole front of the show, but
that's the point. I mean, we'll do the front at the end. Stuff it. Right, what's been happening then? Christian Bale has been given the top choice to be Steve Jobs in the biopic written by Aaron Sorkin, which is being made into a movie, allegedly.
Well, there's a bunch of stuff that happens with that. Isn't it that David Fincher wants Christian Bale?
Fincher has not yet officially signed on to the direct film. He's allegedly said that he will take on the project if Christian Bale plays Jobs.
Yeah. So for those who don't follow... Hollywood and movie stuff very closely. David Fincher is also the person responsible for House of Cards.
Oh.
In case that helps anybody. The US version, the awesome one with Kevin Spacey. The other one is awesome, but the old British one, but I really like Kevin Spacey.
They've done a great job on that.
They really have. And the thing that's funny about it is everybody asks Kevin Spacey how accurate the show is. And he says that congresspeople have come to him and said, your show is very accurate, except. And he says they all either say nobody could pass an education bill that quickly, or except I wish I had the means to off somebody so that I could get my way in things. And those are like the only, everything else is pretty much accurate. So all the wheeling dealing, all the, I'm, you know, scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, all seems to be very accurate.
Which, yeah, most of the British politics gets done in the bars around Westminster.
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of surprising, but sort of not, I guess. Yeah. So.
No. Well, that makes me feel a little bit more happy about the fact that we got out of here. The only thing I was thinking is Bale likes to become his characters, doesn't he? He will be a bit, Steve yeah. Jobs for the entire yeah. 6 to 8 weeks of the film. And he's a mm-hmm. complete arsehole now. Imagine what he's going to be like when he's pretending to be Steve Jobs for 2 months.
Maybe he'll yeah. just be the same.
No, he'll be with knobs on.
Yeah.
I don't know Christian Bale, he might not be.
As long as he doesn't do his Batman voice for Steve Jobs.
I never got where the Batman voice came from.
The iPod.
I'm disguising my voice so you won't know.
The giggles, I'm sorry.
Yeah, weird. That is a good question.
The lower half of my face.
Is it all exactly. go? It probably all goes back to Michael Keaton. And that's probably. Just it.
Yeah. Well, it was always sort voice. Of a presumption that, they were doing it so they wouldn't recognize, so that whoever he's dealing with, you know, doesn't recognize his voice.
Even that's though the bottom half
they didn't
of their
do
face
the TV show,
exactly
though.
Like
yeah, no, they didn't. Yeah. They didn't.
Adam West
a lot
didn't pull that garbage.
Right. No, because he didn't need to. Who's Adam West? I just got this image in my head of doing the iPhone introduction scene, and he's holding up an iPhone going, it's a phone. It's an internet connection device. It's a music player. Do you get it?
I'm trying to think who that sounds like. Oh, it's Max out of Heart to Heart. He's going to be Max out of Heart to Heart. It was Moida.
It was Moida, Mrs. H.
Get in here today, you know, the Moida Vista Center. It was Moida. Jeff, if they ever bring him back, mate, you've got to be first in line for that audition. I'm telling you, pal.
I'll totally audition.
Totally, absolutely. Well, we can move on from that story then. I don't really want. I haven't seen the Kutcher version yet either, and I don't know if I'm that.
You haven't?
You don't?
No.
Do you?
Well, I liked Pirates of Silicon Valley. I thought it was really good. I thought, what's his name? Noel. No, I'm gonna say Noel. Noel, not his name.
Noah Wiley?
Yeah, Noah Wiley.
Noah Wiley.
I was going to say Noel. Noah Wiley, it was top hole in that. I thought he was very plausible.
Yeah.
And I know it was a bit of a cameo, and it was a bit almost sitcom-y at times, but I quite like it as a film. And I don't know, I can't see that. I don't like Ashton Kutcher as an actor. I don't think he's that good. Bale's a good actor, I think, but do you really need another film about a bloke who was so intelligent that he didn't get treated for cancer?
Well, this was the one that we were waiting for, though, because when the Ashton Kutcher rumor started that he was going to play Steve Jobs in a movie, everybody went, oh, it must be the Isaacson book, which would make sense because it was the most accurate, seeing as Steve was sort of involved. Right. So I think, you know, I mean, that's what people were sort of presuming, and then it turned out to be this other thing. So I don't know. Like, the movie I want to see is the one that's based on Isaacson's book. Like, if I'm going to watch one, that's the one I'm going to watch. Now, it's going to be based on a book that I've already read, but, you know, it's not like that's necessarily a bad thing. Ask J.K. Rowling or...
Wasn't the original rumor, though, that it was just going to be based on, like, one or two parts of that book? I mean, that's a huge book.
It was supposed to be product launches.
Right.
Which is what they ended up doing with the Ashton Kutcher movie, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, they just filmed product launches.
It was like pivotal moments. It was like the iMac and the iPod and the iPhone launches, and then the rest of it was going to be like flashbacks to the stuff that filled in before those points, was what I thought.
Oh dear. Yeah, the problem with the Kutcher movie.
Am I misremembering?
Well, the Kutcher movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they started with the iPod launch. Trying to think which keynotes were in there. There was that one. And there might have been some at the end. But I mean, that's a really, if they were trying to do that, they did a really bad job of that. My problem with the Kutcher movie was that they had sort of one running storyline that never was realized because they kept disrupting it with trying to get all of the sort of well-known key stories mm-hmm. in. So they had all these, I call them almost like little vignettes that just kept popping in. You can call them flashbacks, whatever you want. Yeah. But I mean, it just disrupted the whole thing. So it was like, okay, it was felt like they were trying to force certain stories in there because they were for the fans. And I wish they had not done that. Mm. You know, and then they had
there's a good way to do fan service and there's not a good way to do fan service. Like the first X-Men movie was good at fan service. The third X-Men movie was horrible at fan service.
None of you guys have made me sound like I ought to go and see it though.
The Kutcher movie?
Yeah.
I mean, I think if you're a huge fan of Apple, I think it's worth watching once.
Chat room has decided that if there's a live remake, then Jeff should play Noel Edmonds. that's Noel Edmonds. Now, Noel, do you guys know who Noel Edmonds is? Even.
I thought so, but maybe I don't.
I recognize the name, but I'm...
Noel Edmonds does Deal or No Deal on the TV over here, and he used to do kids' program called Saturday's...
Oh, him! Okay.
Saturday Swap Shop, and he's got a very badly dyed beard. But Jeff, you know, I can see that.
Yeah.
He doesn't, well, he doesn't speak role, with a, have... he doesn't speak with a voice like Max out of Heart to Heart, but you can work on the voice, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. All I need is a voice coach, and I'd be fine. And for the role, of course, I would do badly dyed and hair and... yeah.
So he's your guys' Howie Mandel?
I guess, except I think he came first. Not wanting to score one up for Britain, but he came up first.
Because do the
Howie did Deal or No Deal, and he does Bobby's World, you know, that kids show. So there you go.
Cool.
Bobby's World's a lot better than it should be for being what it is. I'm just saying.
Flappy Bird's returning to the store, allegedly. Should we move on?
Next.
Okay, that's really good. I'll get rid of that story then because I didn't really want to talk about that because I played it once and it was shit. Tim Cook.
I made it up to three.
Tim Cook has issued an official statement about the book, The Haunted Empire. Now, this is a book that's been written by a guy named Yakari Awitana.
A woman.
It's a woman, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, my Japanese names aren't very good, I have to say. But Tim's issued a statement saying, this is utter and complete bollocks. Well, okay.
Did it say bollocks? Because that would be awesome.
I'm paraphrasing, I have to admit.
That would be awesome.
I haven't read the book, and I've got no intention of reading it if it's utter bollocks, according to Tim Cook. But I'm guessing that it's talking about the imminent demise of Apple.
Yeah. I think the official word he used was nonsense, if that helps any.
My mistake. I am dyslexic. In my defense, I may have got
bollocks. I would way rather it was bollocks. That would be way better, and I just enjoy in my mind.
It is a British show, so it's just been translated into
English.
I need to use proper appropriate British swear words on the one that we do at the show next week. I can say bollocks in American public, can't I? Because it's not offensive.
That's right.
No, it's not.
I've read about Apple.
Do you want the whole statement?
You can say fanny pack and
yep,
and totally get away with it.
You'll probably even see a few.
You probably will. And the more people drink, the more likely that is to. Steve Jobs never threw a pen at him, which the book says did happen.
You want to see the whole?
Do you like
statement?
How he changed the subject?
The whole statement that Tim Cook gave.
I've got the whole statement here, and it says, this nonsense belongs to some of the other books I've read about Apple. It fails to capture Apple, Steve, or anyone else in the company. Apple has over 85,000 employees that come to work each day to do their best work. to create the world's best products, to put their mark in the universe and leave it better. The universe is a big old market, I've got to say. I think he's overreaching there. Better than they found it. This has been the heart of Apple from day one and will remain at the heart for decades to come. I'm very confident about our future. We've always had many doubters in our history. They only make us stronger.
And let me point out that Tim Cook was handpicked by Steve. So it's not like this is some sort of, you know, Tim Cook can't even spell Steve Jobs and that's who's running the place now. Like, that's not really what happened. And people seem to forget that just because you never heard about Tim Cook until Steve got sick, he worked there for a long time. He was like one of the people that Steve brought when Steve came back. So he was there. He's been there as long, you know, all the way back to the gumdrop iMac. For people who need that sort of timeline context, like, you know, it. So all these people that freak out about it all the time anyway, like, they need to understand that Tim was there for a long time before he got set up for this position. And I'm reasonably certain that he wasn't hired in order to someday replace Steve. I think that's just what happened. And it was an excellent choice.
In my estimation. Too many people have really bad PSD from the Gil Emilio sort of days. And they just fall back on that, like, okay, well, Apple just cannot live without Steve Jobs, period. Like, it's an absolute, because we saw it happen and it didn't
work. I think they've got to be careful about overreaching themselves with a product line. I mean, you know, the old idea of crossing off and saying, we've got four strong products, let's stick to those and do those right.
That's the Sony problem that I've talked about for years.
It's kind of woolly. There's an issue here. Well, I think you say that, but I mean, I think this is where the old business thought process and the new business thought perhaps diverge, because we sit and look at Apple as our company with four core products, and that's what Steve went into because it was a smaller company. Now it's as big as the fact that each of the individual product lines is its own company.
Right, but I mean, it's why Apple is not going to be doing a television, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, it's they're not going to fall into, I don't think they're destined to fall into that trap, but they very easily could, and a lot of people seem to want them to.
Yeah, and it's because they don't get how Apple works. They just see how other companies work. And yeah, Apple's not going to make a TV. I'm totally with you on that, Adam.
And so why they're not going to become a video production company. You know, it's why you're not going to see them doing the Netflix thing. Sorry.
Yeah, no.
It's okay. Since, I mean, it's good they're not making a TV because they're only going to be around for another 2 months anyway, right?
Yeah. Kane replied, for Tim Cook to have such feelings about the book, it must be bollocks.
Okay, that's true, because like, you haven't seen a lot. Like, Tim's been a pretty cool customer up until, like, lately, I guess. At the shareholder meeting with the ROI kiss-off, which was...
That was awesome.
I really wish I had been there totally because awesome. That was amazing. I just, everybody was, you know, like, people were complaining about unprofessional and I'm like, I don't care that it was unprofessional. I love him more because that was a great thing to do, to stand up and like draw that line and be very unequivocal. I thought that was awesome. But like, it's interesting to me that he's doing this. And I will point out that like, there was a branding issue all along because Apple always was Steve's company. You know, and so people do tie it very closely to Steve, and it's probably hard for Tim to divorce that. I think that's why Tim has not been the lead person on the notes and has been more the MC and brought out other people to talk about the various technologies and things when they do the new product launches and have the events. Because it is tied so closely with Steve, like, you know, and wow. Just like Microsoft and Bill Gates was, you know, the same sort of thing. I'm sure if you did a survey, you would find that a certain portion of America thinks Steve Jobs still runs Apple and that Bill Gates still runs Microsoft. And, you know, I can tell you this because up until very, very recently, I've still gotten people who said, wait, Apple, I thought Microsoft bought them in the 90s. So,
yeah.
You know.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think there's a certain amount of, you know, branding, because whenever Apple had something to do, it was Steve who came out and did it. So I think there's probably a certain amount of that people are sort of, you know, knee-jerk reaction is like, but that's not Steve. And so, you know, it'll right. I think it will get better over time as it has continued to since Steve has passed.
Well, people also think that Steve Jobs created every product Apple sells. And they also have the misconception that every quarter Apple releases a new market-changing product. And they've never done that.
No.
No. If you average it out, isn't it like 11 years?
Chat room.
Yeah, maybe.
He's asking the question, Kane, is that as in the Big Mickle or as in Kane the wrestler? I don't think it's either, Batwinch. I don't think it's either of those people. So.
Which Kane are we discussing?
The one that wrote the Bollocks book.
Oh, no, it's neither of those.
We may have a title, Bollocks book. There we go.
The Bollocks book.
They took...
It's a picture book, isn't it?
It's a Bollocks book. It's a picture Bollocks book.
You have to be 18 to buy it. They keep it under the counter.
Is it a pop-up?
Yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing. It wouldn't be a Bollocks book if it had some pop-ups in it. Now, could it? There are no Bollocks pop-up books in the world.
But when it's whatsoever. Cold out, the book has fewer pages. It gets smaller.
The pop-ups are littler.
Well, it depends how well made they are, you see. But if they're mass-produced in China or something, then they'll be thick and, it takes time. iPad 2 got taken out the back and was beaten with a baseball bat, thrown in a grave like Joe Pesci, and had dirt thrown on it while he was still breathing. but the iPad 4 appears to have replaced it.
As if by magic.
One's appeared on the website, and after the fourth iPad reappeared on the company website, Apple has confirmed that now for $399, you can get an iPad with a stunning, not sure superlative is this, 9.7-inch Retina display, A6 processors, 5-megapixel iSight camera, dramatic upgrade in power from the iPad 2, which it replaces.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good old lump. If you're a student sitting thinking, oh, come September, I've got to go back and I was going to buy an iPad 2 for school, but Jesus, that's going to be crap. It's not anymore, because the 4 is wizzo. Absolute wizard.
Yeah. It should have done that from the get-go.
Surprised. Yeah, there you go. I was surprised he didn't do this from the beginning.
And, me too, and it was because partly my argument was the lightning connector.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeff, go on, carry on.
Okay, so the lightning connector as opposed to the dock connector, retina display as opposed to non-retina display, and a newer processor. And Apple has a track record of when they release the new product, they keep a recent old product as their lower price option. Mm-hmm. And they didn't do that. They kept the iPad 2. It just seemed like a really weird decision. And I couldn't wrap my head around that one. And now they're replacing it with the fourth gen iPad. I still can't wrap my head around why they went with the iPad 2 in the beginning.
The argument that was given and the one that I sort of felt made the most sense was that they sort of kept it around to give the education market a transition. Well, a lower cost, they wanted a lower cost device. And also they were already heavily invested in 30 pin for a lot of their stuff. So they've got those, charging stations and carts and, accessories and classrooms set up to support 30 pin. And so this kind of gave them some time to say, look, we're moving this way. The cheaper iPad's going to be Lightning. But, that's a costly thing. So, and now I'm kind of curious because I don't think I've checked. Are they still selling? Because they have the education store. Can I still get an iPad 2 in the education store? Because Apple sometimes do that, keep certain products available just for education. But I haven't looked.
EMAC.
The Ian Luce is making a point in the chat room, which is a great one. They should ditch the 4S now and make the 5 the cheap entry phone to get rid of the 30 pin completely from the product line. Good point.
Which is what I thought they would do.
Really good point.
And didn't, which still surprises me.
Yeah. So that would be a good thing. That would definitely be a good thing. 30 pin needs to go finally, once and for all. Except half of the stuff I've got still runs on a 30. I'm charging my 4S up so I can bring it to Macworld so I can use my passbook to get in the frigging show. So that's the only reason I'm carrying it, and I might put my SIM card in just so I don't get lynched. No, oh, I said the MWIW word. Jesus Christ!
Oh,
that's all right. It wasn't too bad.
Everyone drink.
Yeah, just don't make a big deal about it. We won't notice.
Apple has dropped boot camp support for Windows 7 on the Mac Pro. There's a bit of a furore about this, and a couple of people have
why
a couple of tweets, but I see that as totally logical. why support why? A piece of software that's 3 years old and which the current replacement for is very good?
Microsoft
very
shouldn't be supporting it.
Yeah, no, it's. I don't think you get a choice, but no, it's not happening. If you want to run Windows 7, you're going to have to run it in Parallels or something like that because they won't be able to run it natively. But I mean, if you're buying a $3,000 to $6,000 computer and the rest, why not fork out an extra $130 for a copy of OEM Windows 8?
Because 8's crap and a lot of things are only 7 happy. I mean, this is the same thing that happened with XP. Like, the only reason a lot of people are only running Windows 7 because Microsoft did finally Old Yeller XP.
No, no, you haven't got your mate Charlotte with you this afternoon to gang up on me here, Kelly. But I don't see Windows 8 as a crap piece of software in comparison to 7. It's built on all the bases that 7 that make it so solid. There's an extra function there for touch, which, that's a like it or lump it thing. You either love it or you hate it. It's a Marmite thing.
The interface is nuts, though, and I know a number of people who, if they are running Windows out of necessity, like a lot of people are running XP because whatever the software is that they need to be running Windows for in the first place doesn't support anything higher. And it's the same as, you know, we all know people who have a Snow Leopard machine or a Tiger machine back in the corner because whatever the software is that they absolutely have to have for their money-making enterprise will only run on that version of Mac OS and nothing higher.
Hmm.
And this is the same sort of thing. And that's why I don't understand why they would ditch Windows 7. Like, I get if they're forsaking XP or, you know, anything like that. Like, I can see that because Microsoft has forsaken Windows XP finally. But if Microsoft is still supporting Windows 7, then I don't know why Apple wouldn't follow suit.
I don't see either. That would be great.
Matt Wench has your answer for your passbook.
Oh, go on.
Just snap a screenshot, throw it on your Nokia.
Oh, that's a good
thing. It'll work just as well.
Good thinking. Well done. You can't be that pissed off then at the feed.
So. Now they'll still beat you up. They're actually more likely to beat you up.
That's true.
Yeah, because I've tainted it.
Yes.
OneNote came.
I'd like to point out Ewan said taint.
Taint. What's wrong with the word taint? If I'd have said cock or something, then fair enough. But I said taint.
Is someone going to explain this to Ewan later?
Taint.
Yeah.
That's an American thing, because taint is fine in England. I'm going to say taint on stage, and everyone's going to go.
I'll put it in the chat room.
Okay, thank you.
it's a euphemism for isn't taint. Tisn't.
Oh boy,
it's a euphemism for some other things too.
Cards I'm just going to stop there.
Can we talk about the next news, please?
If I've offended the American listeners, sorry. Until next week, and then I don't give a shit.
They're going to be amused, but okay.
Microsoft releases OneNote as a free Mac app store. Dan Store. Who downloaded it? I downloaded it. Jeff did, because we talked about it last night.
No, I didn't download it.
You just had a play. Okay. Anyone else download?
Do which?
The Microsoft OneNote. Do keep up, Adam.
Oh, no. I told you, did I say on here last week that I needed some Microsoft fonts? And after upgrading to Mavericks, and I realized I hadn't reinstalled Office, so I signed up for the 365 trial so I could get the fonts and then cancel.
Oh my gosh.
Good on you, mate.
Good call.
So you haven't downloaded. I got to say it's good, but it's bulked. It's severely crimped from what I remember it to be. There used to be loads of drawing tools and stuff like that on it, and arrow stuff and that kind of thing.
Are you remembering the iOS version, or are you remembering what it used to be on Windows?
I'm going back to Windows when it was Windows XP
friendly. Because it's super useful on Windows.
Yeah, I mean, it does a lot.
People I know who are invested in the Microsoft ecosystem, running Windows, running Outlook, everything they do is Office, like Mr. Kelly, who would normally be back there and I would point like this. He uses it on his computer at work because it's a really good place to keep information across your system. So you have, you know, a to-do that's attached to an email, and you have updates you need to make in this particular spreadsheet, and you have a Word document that has this thing that you have to whatever. And, you know, and checklisting and all kinds of stuff. Like, it's pretty great if that's the system that you're invested in. But if you're somebody right now who is all Windows all the time, but happens to have an iPhone, I don't know how useful it's going to be for you on
iOS.
It's
supposed to be cross-platform, isn't it? Because you can sign up with any email address,
yeah,
and it should sync with that email as the sync to the servers, which for free is fantastic. I'm not I'm not
but
slanging it off, but it just doesn't do as much as it used to, and I, that's disappointing. Right. It doesn't do as much as on Windows. I'd rather have paid a few quid and got the functionality.
I'm waiting to see if Kelly's going to say something.
Go on, no, go on, your turn.
No, so what I was going to ask is it the kind of thing where it's like, you know, 365 on the phone, where on iOS it's just severely, the feature set is severely crippled. I mean, that's what it sounds like it might be, and it might be perfectly fine still on Windows. Or did they cripple everything across the board? And it's the same sort of thing, like everybody was freaking out over the fact that Microsoft's going to be releasing Office for iPad. But the thing is I think they're going to pull the same thing they did with Office on the iPhone using the 365 and just put like a wrapper around the web thing. And it's going to be stupid.
I fear you're right. And I hope you're wrong.
Yeah.
That's I hope exactly I'm wrong, too.
I'm expecting to.
I hope you're wrong.
I expect you're right.
I think this bodes
really
badly. So it's
the OneNote thing, the same kind of thing.
I think this bodes really badly for the release of Office on the iPad, because I think people are going to get something they're extremely disappointed in. They're going to say oh, great, I've got Windows Office, and then they put the documents in, and half of the features won't support some of the things they've done in the document that they've done on the Windows format, or even what they've done on the home version for the Mac. So.
Why?
Or worse, it won't round trip effectively. Like, they won't even be swift enough to not screw something up. So if you open an Excel spreadsheet that's got some macros in it and you can't do any macro stuff in iOS, when you open it again on Windows, because you opened it on iOS, now everything is screwed up. I'm afraid that's what's going to be. Yeah. And this is going to be worse than what they had before, which was ain't no Office on your iPhone. Ain't no Office on your iPad. And that's the way it is. And the reason is because people are going to look to this to be an actual solution. And if it's not even a decent lightweight solution, then this is going to be even worse for them than having forsaken iOS for all these years already.
Totally agree with you.
Now,
they have such an opportunity.
They do have an opportunity. And there is a little glimmer of hope in all this. And it's that when they released the iPhone version of their Office 365 wrapper, they did not release an iPad version.
Right.
And Steve Ballmer at one point said that they won't release a touch version of Office until they've got the interface right. So put those pieces together. And what it has me hoping is that we're going to get a native Mac app that's truly Office and not simply an Office 365 wrapper. But it's only a glimmer of hope.
You mean a native iPad app?
No.
Yes.
Or a Mac.
I can't see that.
What did I say? Did I say
you
iPhone?
Said Mac. Yeah. No, you said Mac.
I said Mac. Oh, no, I meant iPad. And and clearly I need to start drinking.
Yeah.
I was just double checking.
It's getting that
time. Yeah.
No, I meant iPad. Sounds,
I think that would be... I hope that's the case. Just like before, like I hope that that's what happens. I expect something a lot worse.
Their stock went way up when that rumor hit, supposedly, right? It took a big jump.
There were other things that happened on the same day, so it may have been related to that, because Apple stock went up that day too. So they may be related, and it just might be that's the day that the stocks are going up and they made the announcement.
Everybody in the chat room is bailing because of Justin. Thank you, Justin. Mm-hmm.
The day that Justin screwed us. Justin's not a good name for a gay man, is it? Right. iPhone 6 may come in two different sizes, allegedly. One with a 5.5-inch screen and one with a 4.7-inch screen. The only thought I had with this was that the 6 and the 6 big might be the separator on cost and the cheapy versus the more expensive version. But, I mean, it's still a rumor. It's probably a BS rumor as well.
I read 4.7 and 5.7. Is it 4.7 and 5.5?
Well,
it's all over the board. So it's like 4.7 on up to just under 6 inches. Depending on
it's all made up.
It is all made up, yes. But
yeah, it could be the difference in size between unicorns and fairy princesses. It doesn't matter.
Why do I feel like I'm the only guy my age that thinks that a 5.7-inch phone looks like the most asinine, stupid thing ever?
Oh, they look at... Yeah, I'm totally with you, Adam.
Okay. I feel alone because I'm out and about. They're hugely popular. I don't deny that. I just don't get it.
It's horrible, but I'm not a guy.
No, I mean, I absolutely hated the 4S size. I wanted bigger. The 5, right. I've got to admit, that stretch along is great in terms of the 16:9 aspect ratio, you know, getting closer to it. And actually, if you hold it next to my Windows phone, they're not hugely different in size. There's not an enormous gap in terms of the difference. Mine's just a little bit wider.
What size is yours, though?
Mine's about 5 inches, I think. So it's not
okay.
It's not,
yeah. So I think I'm okay. I'm okay with that. 4.7 seems to be the size that I think they'll likely land on, and I'm hoping they'll land on. And especially if they reduce the bezel and it's as thin as people are saying it's going to be, then it's not going to be a real noticeable difference in terms of, you know, you're going to have the larger screen, but it's still going to fit nicely, I think, in my front pocket, and I'll be very, very happy. If they go all the way up to 5.7 and it's one of those gigantophones that's basically my iPad mini, I'm going to be, I won't upgrade. I really won't. I don't want a phone that big. I see these people with these things to their face and it just looks stupid.
The Note is pretty horrific.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. The Note is just like, and I see a ton of them. They're very popular. So,
hello?
Yeah.
You know, they, when they announced the Note, I was at CES that year when it went out, and they had this giant banner on the size of the, on the side of the convention center. And it said, is it a phone? Is it a tablet? And then at the bottom, it said the Samsung Galaxy Note. And, Brett Terpstra was also there, and Brett took a picture of it and he shopped it, and he took, you know, like the little MS Paint markup or whatever. So he wrote, so it said, is it a phone? And he wrote, nope. And then it said, is it a tablet? And he wrote, nope. And then at the bottom, he crossed it out and it said the Samsung Galaxy Note. And that's all I can think of now.
The Samsung Galaxy Note. Yeah, no, see, that's awesome.
Because, like, unless you are LeBron James, you know, he's like 7.5 feet tall or whatever. Like, the whole reason they got him as a spokesperson is because when he holds on to that SOB, it looks like a normal size piece of technology that you want to hold to your face.
And then it erased all his data and he cried.
Yeah. Oh, dear. And when you're Kelly, like, you have to hire somebody to haul that thing around for you because it is a monster. Well, there's just no way.
When the Note came out, I said, oh, that's interesting. It would be great if you could use it with a Bluetooth earpiece. That would be the only saving grace. You are not going to get me to hold that thing up to my head unless there's a bullet coming towards me.
Yeah. Like, all it reminded me of was the N-Gage. Remember the Nokia N-Gage?
No, I try hard to forget it. I went through 4 years of therapy for that, Kelly. Thank you very much.
Well, no, there was somebody that created a website that was like side talking, and it was people taking large, ridiculous things and holding them to their head like it was the N-Gage. And I thought that was a very funny website. These are the things that rattle around in Kelly's brain. Hello and welcome.
I think a Note would be good for blocking Scottish broadswords as well.
Oh, true.
No, I don't think the build quality is good enough. I was working on deflection rather than stopping. German shoe advert apparently has gone just in. If you're watching the download of this because Justin TV shagged you senseless because you tried to watch the live show at Friday afternoon, we apologise profusely. But apparently, Twit Network's getting the same problem. So it's Justin being an arse. It's not us. So there you go. Twit Justin feed is also screwed. Plain and simple.
You know, I was going to ask, how can Justin stay in business? But I realized it's because they can get the ads out even though the streams aren't happening.
Yeah,
so people are seeing ads mixed in with black screen.
Yeah.
Great business model.
It is crap. It is utterly crap. I wrote to them and said they were shit, and they said, oh, well, what's your feed? We'll keep it going. No, they haven't. And apparently Batwinch has written a letter of complaint, so she's pissed off. She has Fridays off work, so this is her afternoon entertainment, which I've got to say, get out more, girl.
Where else are you going to go, though?
Where else are you going to go?
Everyone, here's your call to action.
I can't go to Brit Guarantee because they're too expensive. I'm not paying the fees that they want. And the same thing with Ustream. You get shit service if you have the free stuff. So I don't know what to do. YouTube didn't work because the delay was so heavy, and oh, Christ.
Well, just have listeners start a Twitter campaign.
I need to start a Kickstarter about the service to pay for the bit gravity.
If we let one person in one of the quadrants just play video games the whole time and screencast it, could we use Twitch? Like if it's one corner.
We can do it. I can put a little tiny feed in the bottom of the desktop.
Someone playing Minecraft or something.
I'll sit over here and play threes.
based on the quality of the conversations we have, that could be quite a lot of people volunteering for it. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2. They are superb. Please support them. And one of the things that you've just seen there, we don't make any money. We've got no advertisers that pay us. I don't know why, because we're a really popular show. And advertisers are just dicks when it comes to advertising and parting with a bit of cash. UK2, however, do part with cash on our behalf. They give us a £400 a month server, they give us unlimited storage, and they give us unlimited bandwidth to stream. So what would be costing us an awful amount each month, they pick up for us. That's their deal with us, which I'm very happy about. And they've done it since bandwidth was really expensive. A lot of people have said to me, well, why do you stick with UK2? Because bandwidth's not expensive. I'm sorry, but I got loyalty there because when we were doing Bagel Tech and Bagel Tech News Show, I mean, we used to get 12,000 downloads of the Daily Show each day, and they picked up all of the bandwidth for all of that, never buzzed a word, and everything was real expensive then. So please support UK2. They've been long-time supporters. They are supporting us for the foreseeable future. There is no plans for them to change that. There's great offer codes as well. You've got the dot menu, dot management, dot photography, all those new dot realms that are out there. You can download. I said realms instead of domains because I couldn't think of the word domains. Jesus Christ, what an arse.
That was awesome.
But the things, they're really expensive at the moment. You know, you can pay £40 for those. You still get your 20% discount. So if you put in British Tech Domains, you'll get 20% off. So that you're talking about a tenner coming off maybe the domains that you purchased. That's huge. There's no DNS management charge, and there's VPNs, VPSs, there's tons of codes. So use them. Go through the sponsors page on British Tech Network. We get the click-through, we get the kudos, and then you use the offer codes, and we get the kudos for that as well. And the other people to support, if you can, are the Tech Network, the Network Union. The Network Union are a fabulous bunch of people. They're an associated business partner and an authorised business partner with BT, a reseller as well. And basically what happens is you go to them, and you have a contract with BT because you're a business user. It doesn't matter whether you're massive or whether you're just a small enterprise. But you say, right, what can the Network Union do for me? Well, your relationship with BT continues. You still pay your bill to BT, your contract is with them, and you still get all the great service that BT offers. What you get is an extra layer of support from the Network Union, and they're really good at helping you sort your system out, get it right-sized, get everything in that you absolutely need. Massive experience in WAN. And they're now branching out into small enterprise. I'm not the right person to ask, really, because I don't fully understand what they do. What you need to do is go and check them out. Go through our link on the British Tech Network sponsor page and just sign up with the email address there. Now, they don't pass that email address on to anyone. They've assured us of that. They also then do not bombard you with spam or anything like that. They will contact you once and once only to say, how can we help? Talk to them. They'll tell you how they can help. They'll tell you about all the legalese of it, and they're brilliant. So please support them. They provide the bandwidth or the broadband into the video shows and things like that, which is not what's failing today. What's failing today is Justin TV. Write to your MP and write to Justin and tell them what a bunch of arses they are, please.
Ewan.
Yes, mate.
You offended Batwench, and now she buggered off.
Why have I offended her?
Because you told her to go out and do something. I think
more.
She did.
That was a joke.
Too late. Is she She's really? Gone.
No? Oh, dear.
Are we picking now?
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm in enough trouble as it is. Right. Cool things. Start us off, Adam.
All right. I am going to pick something I've been using for a while. So, you know, everybody has asked that at some point Apple give the iOS devices some sort of proper file management, some sort of proper file system. If you're like me, you use all kinds of different online services like Dropbox and whatever you want, Google Drive, Skype, well, I don't know, whatever Google calls their thing now. I'm a Dropbox user mainly. But the point is you might have FTP servers, you might have SFTP servers, web dev servers. You also have all your local documents and things like that. You want all of that to be kind of aggregated into one place. And Readl makes a great application simply called Documents for your iOS devices. And they just went through an update. Somebody was asking me, you know, can I have something that will support color tags? And that's in the new update. You can now color tag things. It'll also connect to your wireless drives. So if you have, you know, the Seagate wireless drives, anything that basically does web dev, I have the, and I think I've made it a recommendation, the AirStash before, it will connect to that. So it's basically a document manager, and you can do network documents, you can do iCloud, you can do local documents, and it just brings it all into one place where you can get access to everything. You can drag and drop documents between different folders, you can set up folders. It really is a file system. It's the closest thing that we have to a file system on iOS. And it's brilliant and incredibly useful, especially if you have to connect to a lot of different locations to kind of manage your documents. And if you want to pull those all into one single app to kind of manage, rather than having to go to each individual app, it's a really great solution. And I'm finding I'm using it more and more.
Documents, you say?
Documents. And I think it's, I want to say it's like $4.99.
That's good.
Might be more expensive than that.
That sounds right, yeah.
Do you have to sync through iTunes with it, yeah? Or is it...
No. I mean, you can.
Yeah.
I mean, you can manage documents through iTunes, but yeah, no, mostly I just connect to, you know, online services. Oh, another one that I use all the time. How many times have you gone to a website and you want to download like a zip file full of documents? It has a built-in browser. You can browse and you can download files directly into documents. And then oftentimes I'll take that and then throw them over to Dropbox.
Okay. Nice.
Or, yeah, that's good.
Very nice. And I think it has it built-in support for unzipping things, so you can actually compress and decompress inside of it.
Dude. It's,
yeah. Yeah. I find myself using it more and more. I've had it for a while just for managing documents, but then I'll run into something like, oh, there's a zip file and I only have my iPad with me. What am I going to do?
I have this bit of the show because I always end up spending sodding money.
Oh, it's free.
Play everything. Oh, good.
That's sorry, it's great. Free.
They're fantastic.
Free.
The first one's not, but the second
free.
One is.
Free. That's my favorite price.
I forgot it was free. I don't know why it's free. I can't figure out why it's free. It should be $5. It should be $10.
Paul Shadwell is getting a German advert for shoes that lasts 3 minutes before he gets 30 seconds of the show. Then it goes black.
And then it cuts out.
Then it comes back in and he gets the same 3-minute shoe advert in German. Bad luck, mate.
So now you have no excuse. Go get documents.
Documents, yes. Good pick. Thank you very much. Jeffrey, what do you have for us, sir?
I have an iPhone app for you today. And it's not expensive. So at least there's that. Because a lot of times I throw out stuff that ends up costing you money, Ewan. So this app is called Checkmark 2. And it's like a list app. And it sits, in my opinion, between like really basic list apps, like the Tasks app in iOS 7 and OmniFocus. So if you don't need something that's going to give you the full-on hardcore horsepower that you get with OmniFocus, then take a look at Checkmark 2. And what it does is it lets you build your lists and you can have multiple lists going at the same time. And you can create tasks that are recurring on all different kinds of schedules. And then you can also set up tasks that are not only date-based, but also location-based. So you can have tasks that you'll get reminders for on a specific day only when you're in a specific area. So you have a lot of control over exactly whatever it is that you need to keep track of with lists. And it's really flexible and it has a nice interface. It's a nice little app and it's on sale right now because it just came out for $2.99. Regular price is $5.99.
Excellent. Good pick.
Well, and I do want to point out a lot of people that I've spoken with really like this because the geofencing piece is much nicer than what Reminders gives you. And so this is something that the people that I know who really like it for the locational reminding.
Okay. Good stuff. Excellent pick. Right, well done. Kelly, your pick, please.
So my pick is one that I wrote up on the Mac Observer yesterday for, or 2 days ago, as Cool Stuff Found. And it's called Resize Image. And it's free to download. It's ad supported. If you want to remove the ads, it's $1.99, but it's one rate. You pay it and you don't have ads anymore. And then you're done. The thing that's cool about it is everybody knows that you can take a picture and you can select your picture on your phone and you can push edit and you can make adjustments and do different things with it. But what this does is it gives you two different ways to resize your image. You can either resize it by file size, or you can resize it by dimension. So I have this image and I need it to be this many pixels high by this many pixels wide. And you have that option. And the best thing about it is that you can use this for, and you can adjust in the preferences, the presets. So if you want to, if you have, like, say you're trying to upload something to your WordPress site, and you know, you're Jeff and you're out and about and you've taken your photo and you want to make sure that you get it up to Fresh Brewed Tales and it's the right size when it gets there, then you take this app and you set up one of your dimensions as the one that you need for your WordPress site. And then bam, you hit that and it's already adjusted. You can also use it to reduce the file size. So if you take a picture with your phone and you want to iMessage it to somebody, you're not sending them the full on original resolution, giant file size. This is why I think it's super, super useful. And it's just a quick little utility. And it's one of those things that once I found out about it, I've been using more and more often. And so it's sort of like Adams. It's a utility that once you start using it, you start to wonder what you did before. So there you go.
Excellent. Very good. Photo stuff is really good on the smaller platforms now for that kind of stuff, for resizing, for tweaking, for Instagram-y type effects and that kind of thing. So
yeah, and the other thing about this one that's really nice is if you adjust it, it does have an aspect ratio option. So if you want to keep it a tall, skinny photo, if it needs to be square, you can make those adjustments. And I just like that it's prefabbed. It's very quick to hit a button and save the new image, and then you've got it ready to go. And I like that a lot.
Good one. Right. My thing that I'm going to say is cool. Now, I've done the Tough Check Duo the other week, and it's great. I've got two of them, and I absolutely adore them. I've got one that's set up as a 2 terabyte RAID, and another one that's set up as a mirrored 500 gig RAID. But the reason I'm using it now and telling you about it now is that there is a very special offer coming on Tuesday. Okay? On Tuesday the 25th, mm-hmm. you need to go to CHNO Technology. That's Chris. And go to mm-hmm. his website, and there is a better offer. At the moment, all BTN listeners get an offer code of BTN10, and it gets them 10% off. But on Tuesday, you will get a far better deal, but you've got to go to his site on Tuesday. I can't tell you any more than that, because I don't know any more than that. He's just promised me it's a better deal than 10%. So if you go to chnotechnology.co.uk, you can get a Tough Tech Duo there for a massive reduction on the standard price, which has got to be cool, because I've got to say I do love these two things. They are absolutely beautiful. They are locked into my work absolutely now. The one that I ship backwards and forwards between a colleague who does some editing for me, the reason I keep that mirrored is so that if one of the drives flops, I've got the other one there. But the 2 terabyte one just absolutely flies with the SSDs in it, and there's a Thunderbolt one coming out I think soonish, so I'll be buying one of those as soon as it does, because that's going to absolutely be awesome. Choosey, chnotechnology.co.uk, and you will get a massive, massive deal on a Tough Tech Duo. Also, please support James at Woodpad. Just type in Woodpad and get his fantastic stuff. And Dan Griffin at GPS World. Not GPS World, Pocket GPS World, that's it, .com. Right, where can we get a hold of you, Adam?
Pretty easy. You could find me at maccast.com, Maccast on iTunes, and Maccast on just about every social media network location that you would want to find me on.
And roaming around with a hangover and no sleep next week in San Francisco.
Yeah, I'm thinking about I'm actually on Hover right now looking for domains. I think I'm going to be making this year a domain. I don't know what it is yet, so stay tuned to my Twitter feed or the Maccast for it to set up on Tumblr so that I can do more live posting of stuff
Hover,
like a stream.
You don't want to go to Hover. You want to go to UK too.
Oh, well.
Of course.
I guess Yanks could do that, right?
Oh, yeah. No, you actually
we can.
Definitely. And you get good rates as well. And if you...
Well, it was supposed I'm going to some location to find a domain. But I'm thinking setting up a Tumblr would be appropriate.
We'll talk after, because there might be a bit of sponsorship available there for you, perhaps. and Jeff, where are you, sir?
You can find me hanging out at macobserver.com and on Twitter and app.net, jgam at both places, and on a slew of podcasts all over the world. And then also at freshbrewtales.com, where I talk about all the fun stuff that I see people do at coffee shops. And by fun, I mean stupid.
Thanks, mate. Kelly, where are you, girl?
You can find me on Twitter and app.net as Verso. You can find me occasionally over at the Mac Observer with Jeff. And you can find me hosting the Tuwa Talkcast on Sunday evenings, my time. And this week we are going to talk about App Camp for Girls with Gene McDonald. And I will have Paul Kent of Macworld iWorld fame as a guest to talk about what's going to be happening next week.
Good man. Now, next week, the Mac Show will not be live at 3:30 in the afternoon on Friday, because it will be live at about 11:30 at night, unfortunately, because that's the time we've got on the stage. We're on stage about 3 o'clock-ish, something like that, in San Francisco. But we will be live from Macworld. If you want to join us, the chat room will be open. We will be broadcasting as best as we can. We've got makeshift Wi-Fi going with us, so we'll see how it goes, but stick with us. And we're also going to do a live show walk 2 hours before that. So if you want to join us at kind of like the big show time, if you like, on Thursday night at 8 p.m., we'll have the chat room up and we'll have a feed out that we're struggling on whether it's going to go on just in after today's events, but it would certainly go up on a Hangout on Google+. And we will go where you tell us. If the chat room says, I want you to go over there, that looks interesting, we will walk over there, we'll interview the person, we'll find out what it is. And if the next person says, what's behind you, we'll go over there and we'll look at what that is. We will be guided entirely by you. It will be your trip around Macworld, not ours. So watch out for that. And then the following week, we won't be having any shows because I'll be sleeping. Jesus. Taking aspirin every day. We'll see you again next week, live from Macworld. I'll be there. If you're going to Macworld, make sure to come and say hello. I'll be the bloke with the big T-shirt on that says Macworld Tour 2014, British Tech Macworld. Huzzah, the British are coming, people.